The following audio is from the Rush Hour Student Ministry at Nye River Community Church. For more information about Rush Hour or Nye River, please visit www.nyeriver.org.
Heavenly Father God, I just want to thank you so much for this awesome day, God. I'm so excited to be back here at Rush Hour with these students who, whether they're saved or not, God, I'm so excited that they're here. Even if I clown them and dog them and rag them, they mean the world to me, God, and I love each and every one of them so much. Where I can't wait to continue this journey of Rush Hour, God, and what you have in store for this service, God, for each and every student in here that's growing so much in your word, God, and what you have in store for them in their future. Lord, I pray at this moment that I would move out of the way and allow your Holy Spirit to work and to move and to teach these kids, God, and just encourage them, to remind them that they are powerful, that they are beautiful, that they are wonderful, and that they have a beautiful God-given purpose on this planet. Lord, we love you in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, who can tell me what series we're in?
Legends.
We're in a series called Legends. We're on week, I don't know, because I don't even know the date. So,
Yeah.
12?
Yeah.
Good. Y'all would know better than me. I'm sorry to ask. Or...
No, 12.
And there's no way that we can do a Legend series and not talk about Moses. How many of y'all heard of Moses? There you go. If I was to actually break down Moses' life, I could be here for 3 months preaching different messages about my man Moses. But today, we're going to talk about the burning bush. How many of you have ever heard the story of Moses and the burning bush? You know what? People that don't even come to church have heard that story. So that's where we're going today. But before I go into Moses, I want to give you a brief history lesson. Y'all cool with that? All right, my man Joseph. How many of you were here for the sermon that I did on Joseph? Okay. How many of you have ever heard of Joseph? Who was Joseph's dad?
Jacob.
Who said
it? Jacob.
Jacob. That's, say it again. Israel. All right. Now, so let's rewind Joseph. If you don't know, Joseph was one of 12 sons from Jacob. Okay? But what happened? His brothers didn't like him. His brothers were jealous of him because dad loved him the most. Okay? And the brothers, what happened? Sold him into slavery. What's up, man? Yeah, they did, but then they were going to kill him. They sold him to slavery. All right, hold on. We're good. We can interact. We're telling you. All right, so they sold him into slavery eventually, but what happened? The boys came home and told dad what? Boom, he was dead. And over the years, Joshua had this roller coaster ride of things happen. He ended up in jail, but before you know it, he ended up second in command over all the what in Egypt? Food, crops. That's right. He was second in command over all of the crops of Egypt because what had happened? A famine came across the whole area where they were living, and word got back to Jacob that there was food in Egypt, so Jacob sent his sons to go to Joseph to get food. But they didn't know it was Joseph, did they, right? All right, instead, let's rewind again. Joseph had a dream that said what? One day you will. That's right. So what happened? The brothers eventually ended up in Egypt wanting food from their brother Joseph. What happened? Joseph eventually found out it was his brothers, found out dad was still living, family was reunited, they were all kind of happy. Dad died, the brothers begged for mercy. Before you know it, the whole family, which were many, moved to Egypt. So here we are. We're in Egypt many years later. Yes. Yes. Here we are. Joseph and his family is in Egypt. Egypt had grown large. I mean, the nation of Israel. So what did he do? He signed a decree that the midwives were to go and kill every male born to Hebrew women, to Israelite women. That the midwives would do so. So then he signed another decree that would have his people go out and kill all the men by being thrown to the Nile River. You with me? You with me? So Israel is this nation that is now, oh, actually, before the midwives were supposed to kill the people, they're in slavery. Wait a minute, let's back up. So the Pharaoh put them into slavery with very little food and very little water and made them work constantly. Then, that wasn't enough. He said, kill all the firstborn. He sent the midwives to do it. That wasn't enough. And finally, he said, throw all their men, all their boys, into the Nile River. Here we are, the birth of Moses. Okay, so Moses was born under this decree. So Moses' mom hid him for 3 months. And then, after 3 months, it's hard to hide a 3-month-old baby, let me tell you. She couldn't hide him anymore and did what any mom would do. She made him a little basket, covered the bottom in like a tar so that it wouldn't leak, and sent him down the river. So, well, I was joking.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, if you get called by God to do that, ask me first and let me make sure that this is real life. Don't send your kids down the Nile or around the hand. One day. One day, yeah. This is being recorded, man. You can't say things like that. I love it, though. All right. So here we are, we're at the Nile. Mom sent baby Moses. How many of y'all made baby Moseses back in TK when game or used the room? You had to make baby Moseses. That was one of my little brother's favorite things to do. Not really. He couldn't wait for rush hour. Like, you made baby Moseses, sent down the Nile, and who found him? Who knows?
Pharaoh's daughter.
This dude is a word. Or he just listens a lot. Or you sing the Prince of All right, so here we are. Pharaoh's daughter is now playing mom to baby Moses, and Pharaoh said it's okay. So here we are. Moses' life can now be broken up into 3 periods. The first 40 years of his life, where he was a baby under Pharaoh's daughter, until he was 40 years old, playing son to Pharaoh's daughter and grandson under Pharaoh. The second part of Moses' life can be found where he is now a shepherd to his father-in-law's sheep, and his name is Jethro, his father-in-law. So we see he's married. But just to let you guys know, he had to escape Egypt because he killed a what? He killed an Egyptian. Yeah, he killed an Egyptian guard that was beating one of the people. He didn't like that. So he killed him. And what happened? Word got around quick. Before you know it, Pharaoh found out Moses had to flee. So the next 40 years of Moses' life was spent as a shepherd, a normal daily routine under his father-in-law. And the final 40 years of Moses' life was him spent taking complainers, the Hebrew people, out of slavery, and eventually bringing them to the point of where they're about to enter the promised land. That's Moses' life in a quick little synopsis. But like I said, today, we are going to talk about the burning bush, an incident that happened with Moses and God that will change his life forever. So today, are you ready? So today, the first thing I want you on your minds right now are when you look at yourself in ministry, when you guys take a deep look at who you are in ministry, what do you see? When you look at your complete package of who you are and how you see yourself, do you see yourself in a negative light when it comes to God and what he's called you to do? Example, do you see yourself not equipped enough in the Word or not bold enough to maybe share the gospel? Or maybe the world has put a title on you and you see yourself in that light and in that category, like you're too ugly, like you're too shy. What's up, Rob? Maybe you're not smart enough, etc. Fill in the blank. What is a category that the world has put on you, and you're starting to believe it, and you're looking at yourself in that category, in a negative category? How often do we say to ourselves, and I know I did at one time, that I wish I had a gift like Tim, or I wish I had a gift like Travis, or wish I had a gift like someone. How often do we look at ourselves and say that? We can never be like that person. But that brings us to today. Because today I want us to look at an incident that occurred during the time of Moses, who was a shepherd. And this is in the 3rd and 4th chapters of Exodus, where he had an experience with God that would completely change his life. I'm going to read Exodus 3:1-12. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pull things out of Exodus 3, and then I'm going to go ahead and pull some things out of Exodus 4. But real quick, let me read Exodus 3:1-12. Meanwhile, Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush.
As Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire, but wasn't consumed. So Moses thought, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, he answered. Do not come any closer, he said. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he continued, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, I have observed this misery of my people in Egypt, and I've heard them crying out because of their oppressors. And I know about their sufferings. I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the territory of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The Israelites cry for help has come to me, and I have also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, go.
She does that sometimes.
Listen to that part.
Therefore, to do it, so.
Go. I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God answered, I will certainly be with you, and this will be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God in this mountain. All right, so right here, we're told how Moses, he led a flock of sheep that belonged to his father-in-law Jethro. So the normal day routine for Moses was walking along, probably leaning on his staff when he was bored, when the sheep were doing what they were supposed to be doing, picking his way through rough terrain, if there was any rough terrain at this time at the mountain. Occasionally, he would have to probe the sheep that strayed from the path of the staff, but this day would be different. Because suddenly, an angel of God, appeared to Moses out of a burning bush, and God spoke to Moses and told him that he would one day lead the children of Israel out of slavery. So, how many of us right now are in our ordinary lives, our everyday lives, like school? You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, for you ladies, you do your little makeup, for your boy, you make sure your shoes match your little shirt, you're getting all ready for school, you go to A1, B1, whatever block, you come home, hang with your friends, do a little homework. How many of you right now are in your ordinary, everyday routine, and God is calling you to something bigger? So I'm here to tell you, if you're in here and you know Christ, that's you. That's you. God is calling each and every one of us to something bigger today. Something bigger. God said to Moses in Exodus 3:10, therefore go. I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So my question for you guys today is, how many times are you in the normal of your everyday routine and ask for God to go? Maybe it's to go and sit with someone lonely, to give a homeless man some change, to go hang with a group of people that have been shunned by the rest of your school, to actually show respect to your parents, kids. Yes, God calls you to show respect to your parents. I'm just saying. Even more importantly, how many of you have been called by God to actually share the gospel with somebody? Kind of backed out. Or maybe what happens is, at first, like Moses, you do everything to avoid being used by God. Let's look at some of the excuses used by Moses so that he could try to back out of ministry. And this is where we're going to pull some out of 3, and then we're going to actually dive into a little bit of 4. Because when asked by God to go, the first thing, write this down, the first thing out of Moses' mouth in Exodus 3:11 was this. But Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? How many times when asked by God to move, we don't move, and instead we go, who am I? How many of you are too worried about your imperfection? How many of you are too worried about your failures or what people have done for you instead of who you truly are in Christ? Who you truly are in Christ. You see, Moses asked this question because Moses was an orphan. Moses was a murderer. Moses was one of the few Hebrew people that wasn't left in slavery. How many of you have put yourself in a category that you use in a negative light instead of who God has called you to be? Is this you? Because if so, you need to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now listen to this. Your works are wonderful. Your works are wonderful. Do you know this about yourself? God created you, and he makes no mistakes. He's never made a mistake, and he's sure as heck ain't about to make one. You are not a mistake. His work is wonderful. So next time when you're asked by God, instead of going, who am I? Look at yourself as a child of God. A child of God instead of a product of his world. You're no longer a product of this world. You are a child of God. The world, that product, that category you're in, is only there to leave you empty, because that's what the world does. Leave you empty. God will never leave you empty. Look at yourself as a soldier. Look at what it says in 1 Peter 2:9. But you, us, are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God, his possession, so that we may proclaim the praises of the one God who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. You understand from now on, no matter what the world says about you, what people at school say about you, maybe some of you is what your parents say about you, never forget these two scriptures. Psalm 139:14, you are wonderfully made. And that you are chosen people. You are a chosen people. Never forget that. The second thing out of Moses' mouth in Exodus 4:1 was that Moses answered, what if they won't believe me and will not obey me, but say, the Lord did not hear me? Rejection. How many of us use this excuse to get out of something God has called us to do? How many of you are afraid of rejection? Really, I'm asking. How many of you are afraid of rejection?
That's a good thing.
Yeah? I am too sometimes. But why? What are we afraid of? That they tell us no? Are we afraid that they tell us to get out of their face? Are we afraid that they tell us we're talking about God to me? But guess what? It's going to happen. How many of y'all have already experienced that? Has anyone in this room already experienced somebody saying those things? Guess what? It's going to happen again. And it's going to happen again. And it's going to happen again. But guess what? If Lynn Peterson didn't nag me every single day for a year, I may not be here. And every day. And you know what? He wasn't nagging me. He was shaking. I look at it as nagging. I kind of look at it as nagging. But truly, this guy was shaking me. He was shaking me. I want to be here today. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of what? Power, love, and self-control. Oh my God, is that man? You understand? God has given you not a power of fear, bro. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Fellas, I don't know about you, but I'm a guy's guy. I'm a guy. I like that sound. I love the sound of power in my life. But guess what? It's only Christ. It's only in Christ. Because we must keep going, because even if they don't like what you have to say, even day one through day 364, I didn't like what they had to say. He planted seeds in my life. He kept going. He planted seeds. That one day, not one day, I can sit here now and not only think of Lynn, but I can think of all of these people from my past that told me things of God, like there's a girl right now named Donna, there's another woman named Juanita, there's a dude named Steve. All of these people in my life that told me about Jesus Christ, and the words out of my mouth were shut up, or I don't want to hear it. Because I'm going to tell you, I was a rough dude. I wasn't like, well, maybe I'll go to your church. I was like, no, I don't do that. I don't go to church, and I don't like you for asking. That's how it was, man. And I can look at all these people now and go, man, praise God that they said something. They tried. I wish I knew their numbers. To be honest, I love them so much for even trying. I would call them today and say that God used them in a powerful way in my life. One day, if someone accepts Jesus Christ, they're going to look back and look at the time where Dakota, you said something about Christ to them. Or Tristan, when you said something about Christ. Now, all of you, they're going to look back and be able to go, wow. They shared Jesus with you, man. Plant seeds in the lives of the people around you. The third thing out of Moses' mouth was in Exodus 4:10, but Moses replied to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent either in the past or recently, or since you have been speaking to your servant, because I am slow and hesitant in speech." Moses couldn't speak well. How many of us, when asked by God to do something, where am I at? We look at the things we don't have. How many of us look at the things we don't have, or the things we're not good at, instead of the things we are good at and the things we do have? How many of us go, "Well, I can't speak well," or "I don't know the Bible enough," or "I'm not strong enough in my faith for that," or "disciplined enough"? Fill in the blank. How many of you say that instead of what you do have? Let's go back and look at Exodus 4:2-5. I'm going to read it to you. The Lord asked him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," Moses replied. And then he said, "Throw it on the ground." So Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And then he ran from it. But the Lord told him, "Stretch out your hand and grab it by the tail." So he stretched out his hand and he caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. "This will take place," he continued, "so they," the Hebrew people, "will believe that Yahweh, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." You see, for Moses, God used what was in his hand. What was in his hand? An ordinary shepherd staff, which he used every day for work for the past 40 years of his life. But what happened? God told him to throw it on the ground. Throw it on the ground. God takes us who are ordinary with our ordinary things and does miraculous, marvelous things with them for his glory. It's never for our glory. It's for his glory. What was in Moses' hand again? Say it. Staff. God did a lot with Moses' staff. And Moses struck the Nile River with the staff, and it turned into blood. He brought a plague of frogs out of the waters. He struck the dust, and it turned into gnats. He stretched it toward heaven to bring down fire, thunder, and hail. He brought a plague of locusts. He divided the Red Sea. He struck a rock with it. He got water. And when he held it high in the air, his warriors prevailed.
Sometimes they...
God used
staff. How do you speak that fast? I don't get it.
For one, as a tool,
you just
as a
did.
Yeah, I know.
To get his job done. And
go
to
ahead.
Get
okay.
God's
oh
children
yeah.
delivered from Egyptian bondage. And I'm here to tell you, actually, I'm here to ask you, what is in your hand? That's the question today when you leave here. What is in your hand? The Lord has used what people had in their hands many times to prove his power and authority to them. Miriam, who was Moses' sister, had in her hand a tambourine, and she used it to lead the people to praise God after crossing the Red Sea. What is in your hand? David, he had a sling, and he used it to bring down a giant. All the widow had was enough food for one more meal for her son. But she offered it up to the prophet Elijah. A little boy, all he had was some fish and bread. And what did it do? Y'all tell me. Fed 5,000. All that Mary of Bethany had was a jar of precious perfume, and it blessed Jesus. The poor widow only had 2 copper coins. She gave more than anybody else. God is asking me right now, what do you have? Here's something to remember. God did not ask Moses to use something he didn't have. He didn't have. God always uses what we do have. You know what? God has never demanded from me what I don't have to offer him. He's always asking me for me to really search who I am and let him know what I do have so that he can use it to his full ability. What we have and who we truly are in, wait a minute. We will never know the full potential of what we have and who we are truly in Christ until we allow him to have control over us and that thing that you know about yourself that you do have. That you do have. Whether you're educated or not, rich or poor, young or old, none of that matters. It doesn't matter to God. He's not looking for your capabilities and your abilities. He only looks for us to be available. Available with our capabilities and abilities. God accepts you just as you are and begins to use you where you are. You guys, you all have to understand that we are all different. We are all unique. What you do for the Lord will never be what this person does for the Lord. You're different. So you can't look at this person's gift and the way that this person goes and be jealous of it because God is going to use you differently. He's going to use you differently. So let's share some things. First, I want to say, it's not always going to be what you may have may not always be the spectacular thing. So what we're going to do is break down two small things that you may have right now that don't seem spectacular, but I'm going to share with you today why they're huge. And the first one is time. This is something, listen, this is something we all have an equal amount of. And what we do with our time is important. Our time can be spent for you and me and ourselves, or our time can be spent for God. With our time, we either waste it or we glorify the Lord. With the things of God, there are no idle moments. I'm here to tell you that today. We've been created to glorify the Lord. So my question is, do we glorify the Lord with our time? Let's say that each person in this room is going to get $86,400 deposited into their account tonight at midnight. Now, tomorrow, you have $86,400 to do whatever you want to do with it. But after 24 hours, everything that you waste your money on is gone. Any leftover money is gone. But whatever you spend your money on wisely lasts forever. Lasts forever. What would you do with that kind of opportunity? Because guess what? Guess what? There's 86,000 and there's 86,400 seconds in every day. Did y'all know that? 86,400 seconds in every day that we are given by God. You and I are entrusted with something that's way more valuable than money. And that is time. That is time. This day will soon be over, and all of the things that you wasted this day on, that you didn't do for Christ, that you blew this day on, will be gone. All of that stuff will never last. But everything that you invested in wisely in the things of God will last forever. So, do this for me. Every day, take time for God. It's life's only lasting investment. Take time to pray. It will draw you closer to God. Take time to worship. Praise God for all that he's done for you. Take time to love others. It's the commandment of Christ. Take time to learn about God. Take time to share the gospel. It's the only thing that will last a lifetime in your life. Because just like I said earlier, everything that you waste your money on, your time on, will be gone. The person next to you, in this room maybe, at school, in your home, have you been wasting time with them? Have you been wasting time with them, that people, that friend at school that you love and truly want to see in heaven? Don't waste your time. Maybe in your hands right now you have energy. This is a word that you young people better start cherishing deeply, because let me tell you, energy means so much to me, because the older I get, the less I have. Now, Did any of you, have any of you heard of the energy crisis that happened back in like the 70s? Anybody? Yeah, well, let me tell you, there was this huge energy crisis that lasted back in the 70s that would leave people, it would change their lives forever because the world was running out of gas. The world was running out of gas. There was cars miles long waiting for gas. They would sleep overnight waiting for gas. Dude, I don't even know the full details of it. I just remember people were waiting days. There you go. So people were waiting days. And I'm here to tell you, though, that there is a much greater energy crisis. And guess where it's at? It's right here in the church. There's an energy crisis happening right now in the church. Many Christians are now running out of gas. They're stalling out in the middle of the road because guess what? Many are too busy. Christians are too busy. Our personal lives, our personal goals, to where we don't have time for God. I'm too busy, you're too busy, everyone's too busy with so many things. You know that most Christians, when asked, how come you haven't been to church lately? How come you haven't been to church in the last month or the last year? The two things out of their mouth, two things, are I'm too tired or I'm too busy. Praise God, Jesus wasn't too tired to get beat down. Am I right? Praise God, Jesus wasn't too tired to hang on a cross so that we could live forever. Because guess what? We wouldn't be here. Could you imagine that if Jesus said, oh, I'm too tired for that. I'm too tired to go get beat down to unrecognition. But listen, Christians will say, I'm too tired. I'm too busy for the Lord. Question. What are you doing with the energy that God has given you? With each new day, do you give Him your first? When you first wake up in the morning, are you praising Him for all that you do have? Are you pouring energy into Him when you first wake up? And even more importantly, and then at the end of the day, are you giving Him all that you have? At the beginning and the end of your days. But do you have enough spiritual stamina for the long haul of life? Because I'm here to tell you, if you're running on your own energy, life is going to eat you alive. It is hard. The world is hard. And the world is dark. And Satan is prowling around every corner to take y'all out. But if you're in his power, in his energy, you will have stamina to last a lifetime. Listen to this quote. Any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes continuous effort to swim against the current and serve God. Amen? How many of us are going down the exact same path as the world? And how many of us are fighting against the world? We're tired. We're energy. Or we need energy. It's going against the world. It's going to wear you out. But you have to have God. You have to put everything on Him. Now, those are just examples of some things that God has given us. For some, it's something else. But for each and every one of us, God has given you a unique talent. He's given you a unique gift. He's given you unique circumstances that you've been through in your life, even when they're horrible, to share with somebody. He's given you a unique position. They've all been given from God to be used by God. I'm going to end the day with this. Here's God's plan for us. Are you ready? Number one, God asked Moses for whatever he had in his hand. So God is asking you today, what is in your hand? What do you have? I want you guys to start asking God, what do you have? Who are you? How are you unique? What are some of the things you've gone through? And you know what? If you don't know, you should have came to the spiritual tattoo class, because that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about that. And number two, He's asking you to be obedient with what you do. But looking at the person next to you, you're going, I wish I had that gift.
Is he going to go to that last verse? Is he going to do that last verse?
Exodus 4, 3 through 4. Yes. And then he said, God said, throw it on the ground. So Moses, he threw it on the ground and became a snake. And Moses ran from it. But then the Lord told him, stretch out your hand and grab it by the tail. So he stretched out his hand and he caught it and it became a staff in his hand. Question, who can tell me why this
obedient step took major faith for Moses to grab a snake by the tail.
That's right. A snake, if you grab it by the tail, you strike. So this took major faith by Moses to take a step of obedience and do exactly what God called him to do. So let's go out of rush hour and be obedient to your calling with what you have and quit focusing on what you don't have. Quit focusing about what the world is telling you. The negative things, the negative categories that you're being put in every day at school. School stinks, man. Y'all are putting in more categories at school than I've ever seen in my life. And you know what? It's going to happen out here in the real world, too. The world is going to constantly leave you feeling upset about yourself, stressed out about who you truly are. And God is sitting here every day saying, wake up. You are a child of God. I'm going to leave y'all with this. Everybody's going to get one of these. We're going to do 1 Peter 2:9, but we're going to change the words a little bit. Here, take one, pass them around quick. All right. So I want everybody to repeat after me. Don't go ahead of me. Repeat after me, okay? Say, but I am a chosen race.
I am a chosen race.
Nah, I want everybody. But I am a chosen race.
But I am a chosen race.
I am
a royal priesthood.
I am
a holy nation.
And you know what, man? I want y'all to underline this. I am. Say it.
I am.
His possession, man. Dude, y'all are God's possession. Listen to me. Look at me right now. Look at me. If you are in here right now and you are in Christ, you are his possession. You guys have got to understand that. You've got to understand that. You're his possession, man. You're his possession. So that I may proclaim the praises of the one who called me out of darkness and in his marvelous light. Everybody underline. I am his possession right now. Stop repeating that. Hey. Hey, let me pray. And then let's go in the last room and let's talk about you guys.
Put this back up.
Jesus, but who you are is Jesus.
And then when he's going to pray.
Fellows that we have in Christ.
As he's praying, I switch and pull.
Ladies, there's
God,
power
back
to
up,
that power. There's nothing more powerful
because when he's done
power
praying, we hit stop, and then we have to do file save just so that it doesn't disappear.
Hey, I love y'all. Let me pray. Heavenly Father God, I just want to pray that this message shook the hearts of these students, God. That when they leave here today, man, it would just be a normal Sunday afternoon. But this would be a Sunday afternoon where they look at themselves the way that you see them. The way that you see them, the way you see me, God. Who can be against it? And you're for me. You've given us power. You've given us wisdom. You've given us a beauty that surpasses all other, God. We're all unique and different. You know the hairs on our head. And I pray that each and every student would know that about themselves today. And when they look at themselves, they wouldn't see a product of this world. See a child of God ready to be obedient. What they have for you. Lord, we love you in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from the Rush Hour Student Ministry at Nye River Community Church, located in Fredericksburg. Feel free to share this with others, but do not alter the content without permission or charge others for a copy.